It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin has a new state budget plan in place.
The budget includes a significant portion covered in a bipartisan deal between Governor Tony Evers and Republican leaders in the legislature.
Lawmakers voted to approve the budget yesterday, and Governor Evers signed it with some partial vetoes at 1:30 this morning. We're catching up on what is and isn't included in the budget.
Anya Van Wagtendonk is WPR's state capitol reporter. Anya, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
And Rich Kramer is political reporter for WPR based out of Eau Claire. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Anya, you were at the Capitol all day long, I understand. You watched Governor Evers sign this thing. Take us through this. How did the discussion of votes on this budget shake out between the two parties leading up to a long night for you?
Oh, yeah. It was a long night for a lot of people, I think. Debate kind of went on all day and well into the night. Part of that was because Democrats were introducing a lot of amendments during the debates in both the Senate and the Assembly. A lot of them arguing that the bill just sort of doesn't go far enough on some of their priorities, like childcare or education, or they wanted to push programs that, like postpartum Medicaid expansion, for example, or free school lunches that wasn't in the final document. So things started off pretty timely in the Senate. We kind of expected for there to be these longer speeches and the work on the amendments. But then there was a big sort of recess before votes and before it got sent to the Assembly. And that certainly had some people that I was talking to kind of nervous that things would not end up wrapping up quite so cleanly. But it did. The Assembly then kind of did their thing. About 6 hours of debate there. They wrapped up after midnight. And then we reporters all ran to the governor's office to watch him sign it into law, which is a pretty speedy turnaround time.
And Rich, this was kind of slow and leisurely until it wasn't. We had this official June 30th deadline that didn't really matter. You know, the state doesn't shut down if you didn't hit that. All of a sudden, there's this thing coming from the federal government. What accelerated the timeline here?
Yeah, it was essentially a race between federal and state lawmakers to pass their budgets. You know, there's the federal deadline that is essentially arbitrary and was set by President Donald Trump. He wants his spending bill, known as the Big Beautiful Bill Act, to pass by July 4th. But the hurry in Wisconsin, over the last couple days, had to do with Medicaid funding. And so it boils down to this. Wisconsin has something called a Wisconsin Hospital Assessment. That's a tax on health providers' net patient revenue. So that money is leveraged to get a federal match, and it goes back to reimburse hospitals for treating low-income individuals. And a chunk of that also goes into the state's medical assistance fund, which essentially bolsters Medicaid, what we know as Badger Care. Wisconsin's assessment had been 1.8% since 2009. The budget upped it to 6%. What that means is more money collected can bring in additional federal matching funds. We're talking about an additional $1.2 billion in Medicaid matching funds. The Wisconsin Hospital Association says hospitals in Wisconsin will see around $700 million more each year, and that'll cover about half of their losses. But if Wisconsin didn't pass its budget before the federal lawmakers did and before President Trump signed his bill, we'd be locked in at that 1.8%.
That's one element of this state budget plan. Anya, another part, a tax cut. Republican State Senator Howard Markline and other Joint Finance Committee leaders held a press conference after the outlines of this agreement reached on Tuesday. They were talking about this $1.2 billion income tax cut they agreed on with Governor Evers. Here's a listen.
Tax rate is going to be reduced, which is going to have a meaningful impact on a lot of the average hardworking people in the state of Wisconsin.
Anya, this was something that had been talked about. It seemed like everybody on both sides of this agreed that there was going to be some kind of significant tax cut in this budget deal.
Yeah, that was sort of something that Republicans had said from the beginning was their non-negotiable. And then Evers on his side had some non-negotiables, including education funding and childcare funding. And so we learned about elements of this deal early Tuesday morning that Republican leaders and Governor Evers had struck that included kind of both of those elements. So as you say, about $1.4 billion in tax relief, with a couple other kind of little things in there too, like exempting some retirement income tax, that kind of thing, paired with about $1.2 billion in education, K through 12, higher education, I should say, K through 12, and child care stuff. And so that was kind of the first sign that something really was going to get across the finish line, because you had these two camps kind of getting some portion of what they want and coming forward and saying, we have this bipartisan budget deal. This will be going forward.
Rich, people have had their eyes on a point of contention. Universities of Wisconsin funding, the UW system funding, the Board of Regents asked for a $6 million or for a multi-million dollar increase. Governor Evers, too. Republicans in the Assembly said, hey, how about an $89 million cut? But one of their representatives told us on the show that's kind of a budget marker, a negotiating point. Where did we end up on UW system funding?
Yeah, I mean, the gulf between what the governor had suggested, which was essentially what the universities of Wisconsin had suggested, and what Assembly Speaker Voss and others had floated couldn't have been bigger. But the final product, this negotiated deal, includes $256 million in new spending on the UW, and that includes a stabilization fund, wage increases. Lawmakers and the governor also approved $840 million for building and renovation projects at campuses like UW-Madison, UW-Milwaukee, UW-Oshkosh, and others. So that's where we landed. There's also included in that deal a requirement that instructors will have to spend more hours in the classroom. And there's other bits, too, that some of the Democrats were not happy with last night. But I mean, that's compromise. It was just wild how different the numbers were. And I wouldn't say they landed in the middle, but, you know, not having seen all the numbers, it seems to be embraced by a lot of people.
We're talking about the state budget signed into law this morning. WPR political reporters Rich Kramer and Anya Van Wagtendonk are with us. Another big point of contention here, or a big question mark anyway, was the correctional system and how we're going to fund prisons, big changes possibly in the works. Republican Representative Mark Bourne talked earlier this week on what they arrived at with Governor Evers.
We're investing across the entire state system, including moving forward plans in the Department of Corrections to make sure that we right-size and innovate in that area for the future.
And at the heart of this was a plan to close the Green Bay Correctional Institution, Anya, which I think most parties wanted to do. The question was, what happens next? Governor Evers had kind of an intricate plan. Where did we land on all of that?
Yeah, it's a good question. So earlier this year, just to back up a little bit, in his own budget proposal, Governor Evers proposed closing Green Bay by 2029. That same date was in the Republican budget proposal. The Evers plan, as you say, was an intricate one. It was a series of dominoes is kind of how it was explained. So they put forward, you know, this place has to close so that this place can absorb these things and be restructured in this way, this very, very step-by-step, multi-tiered, complicated process that would culminate in the closure of Green Bay. And so when Representative Bourne sort of announced that Republicans were putting forward that same idea, it is true that lawmakers on both sides of the aisle support closing the Institute. Actually, the town that the facility is in supports closing it. It's kind of a notorious prison, dangerous conditions. It's quite old. It's quite outdated. But one of the things that happened last night at the signing ceremony, Governor Evers has a partial veto pen, so he can strike words and numbers and things like this. And the thing that he struck was not the money for DOC and not closing Green Bay, but he struck the year 2029. So in other words, he was saying, we're not going to kind of force the hand of DOC. And what he said was, we were able to compromise on this budget. We need to compromise on how we get to closing Green Bay. Everybody wants to close Green Bay, but I need Republicans to come to the table and work with me on a plan. So that was kind of where we landed. And so the answer is, we don't know where we landed exactly with that timeline.
Another big question mark, child care funding. Governor Evers made a big ask in his initial budget. Here's Democratic State Representative LaTanya Johnson making a pitch for state child care funding during Tuesday's joint finance meeting.
Solving Wisconsin's child care crisis, investing in the full ecosystem that families rely on, is essential to keeping families here, especially those of childbearing age.
Rich, where did we end up with child care funding in this budget?
Something like $300 million or more going into child care funding. So that money is going to be going to providers to kind of stabilize them. Also, there's going to be increased money for subsidies, essentially for parents that rely on those child care centers. So the governor hailed that as a really big deal for working parents and the state as a whole.
Anya, you mentioned the governor's partial veto pen. It's a unique situation in some ways here in Wisconsin. You mentioned striking that year on the prison closure deadline in the Green Bay area. Any other striking partial vetoes that you saw?
That's right. That was really kind of the most striking one in the past. People may remember the, quote, 400-year veto. So he's used his pen a little bit differently in the past. This time around, I would say he used it much more conservatively on about two dozen items. But it was primarily just to either lock in a higher amount of funding for certain programs. And so by removing the cut to funding, he locks in the previous spending numbers, and that was a way, according to him, to kind of prepare for potential federal funding cuts. And then he also, interestingly, made a couple cuts to specific DNR programs in an effort to say, let's get Knowles Nelson conservation funding to the table. That was something that didn't end up in the final budget. And so I think this was him attempting to use his pen to, again, get some people back to the table, but nothing too flashy or surprising and at 1:30 in the morning.
And we'll leave it there. Anya, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And Rich, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Anya Van Wagtendonk is WPR State Capitol reporter. Rich Kramer is a political reporter for WPR based out of Eau Claire. They have been following a speedy day in budget voting and signing. We have a state budget plan now passed yesterday by the state legislature, signed in the wee hours of the morning by Governor Evers. Go to WPR.org for more coverage, more details about what did and didn't make it into that budget plan.